Good evening. May I bid you welcome. Sorry, I had to do the technical stuff as well this evening. It's good to have you join us for our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. Although this evening it's a wee bit different. We're giving a report of presbytery and the presbytery meeting we had last week together with a week of prayer. Which the Free Presbyterian Church in North America, because such a large geographical area has presbytery meetings or consistory meetings, larger synod, I suppose it would be, for the Dutch Reformed, twice a year. But normally they would be once a month for a smaller area. So they're big things in any case, but in North America, twice a year. So that is a week of prayer, where people, where the elders, so the teaching elders and the ruling elders, come together and spend a time under the preaching of God's word and an extended time of prayer. So that's the morning session. So say half an hour message and then 2.5 hours of prayer. And then that's a free and open time of prayer. And then there'll be a lunch break, and in the afternoon there would be presbytery business, and that takes place on 3 whole days, one evening, 3 whole days, and then one morning. Now for most of the Canadians it was via Zoom, unfortunately, because it took place in America, in the United States, but there were many men present there as well. Joe, so it's slightly different this evening as I give a report of some of God's word and some of the reports, especially the mission report that was given at presbytery. So there's a bit of a, if you're expecting us to continue with Ephesians 5 this evening, we're not, God willing, next week. So you have that to help you. But we will be singing and we will be reading God's word also, but using or looking at some of God's word that came to us last week. But let's open in a word of prayer, please. Our Lord and God, thou merciful Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, thou eternal, ever-blessed God, thou one true and living God, in the name of thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, only through him may we approach thee and have access. How wonderful, O Lord, that it is thy oft command in the scriptures that we call upon thee, Lord, at all times, in times of need, yes, but Lord, to draw nigh and have fellowship with thee through thy Son, by thy Spirit. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us this evening as we consider portions of thy word, as we consider portions of thy work through a portion of thy vineyard. Lord, that we may have hearts that are grateful, that we may have hearts that will worship thee. But Lord, as we come into thy presence, we pray, wilt thou forgive us all our many sins? Lord, forgive us, grant us grace and the fresh infilling of thy Spirit. Lord, that thy word will sanctify us. And Lord, that thy Spirit will sanctify us. And Lord, if we're not saved, that we may know the convicting and converting power of God the Holy Ghost. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. So it's good to see you in this morning, this evening even, and a couple of new faces, or one new face. But it's good to see you in. We're still low in numbers. We've been struck with various diseases as a some have had COVID, some have had flus and colds, or all three. And so our numbers are slowly regaining. But shall we sing together from hymn 54, please? Hymn 54. You'll find near the front of our hymn books, hymn 54. It's not a very well-known hymn in the congregation, I think. But we sung it last week. And it is I think the tune is fairly well known, and if not, tonight's your introduction. You may stand to sing these 4 verses of hymn 54. O blessed God, how kind are all thy ways to me. O blessed God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thine embrace. How precious are thy thoughts that o'er my spirit roll. They swell beyond my faults and captivate my soul. How great the sum, how high they rise, can there be known beneath the skies? Preserved by Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Thy love was great, thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. A monument of grace, a sinner saved by blood. The streams of love I trace up to the fountain God, and in his sovereign counsel see eternal thoughts of love to me. A good tune and great words as well. Thank you, sister. Ed, you please open your copies of God's Word, and we will have a look at a few passages as we examine the Word of God that was spoken to the men of the presbytery last week. Firstly, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And then that portion which is called Taith, verses 65 to 72, is what we read together, but specifically verse 71. Psalm 119, and then verse 71. Hopefully everything's been set up, I'm just saying to the technicians, so... So we'll just read this one verse, because we have one or two verses for the other messages. So Psalm 119 and verse 71 says this: "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, the Reverend Myron Mooney, from, I'm just trying to remember which congregation he's from now, in the United States, the congregation slips my mind, spoke on Tuesday morning on this passage. And just considering the fact that we are all afflicted at some time in our lives, and some of the flock of God are repeatedly afflicted in different ways, and just considering what that affliction is, well, it is suffering of all sorts. Anything that disturbs our peace, disturbs our tranquility, even our health. Anything that draws us out of our comfort zone, whether that comfort zone's good or bad, it draws us out of that place that we feel most comfort. And he gave in 3 points a word from the Lord, saying, firstly, it is good. It's good because it's contrary to the flesh. That we are drawn into affliction by God. And there were many references that he made. One of the references he made was to James 1 and verse 2, where again the same doctrine is taught, that where James, in fact I'll go to it now, James 1 and verse 2. Might bring out a little bit more. James 1 and verse 2, as 1 Peter 1 also has, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That's our experience, that we fall into tests of all sorts. And then he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then he continues with that wonderful perfect work that patience has. And it's very much a similar doctrine to what we read in verse 71. It is good. It's divine wisdom, and divine choices are always better for us than our own comfort zone, than our own ideas. But it's true, it is good. It is in and of itself good. Happiness, because happiness does not consist in the circumstances. Happiness, or joy, may be better said, consists in knowing Christ and in fellowshipping closely with Christ, in spite of all these afflictions. So it is good. It is good to have afflictions. But he went on to say, secondly, that it is good for me. It is good for me to have afflictions, because, as James went on to say, as 1 Peter goes on to say, probably easier to have reading glasses on when I'm reading, that it is for personal profit. It is for personal profit. The Lord will do you good. Yes, in the abstract, it is good to have afflictions, but it's good for me to have these afflictions, that the Lord sees me. He sees my spiritual need. He sees my spiritual poverty, and he knows what will help. He sees my spiritual handicaps, and he knows what will remove them. And it is afflictions. It's good to be poor. It's good that we be poor in any way, lest we be proud and fleshly. It's good that we be afflicted, for they keep us from greater evil. One great example in the New Testament is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who had seen great revelations, who understood matters of Christ greater than any of the apostles, although he was an apostle born out of time, to use his own language, and yet he was given a thorn. Gives him a thorn in his side, and after three, and I can only imagine long periods of fasting and praying, not just three prayers, petitions thrown up to heaven, but after three times of pleading with the Lord, I should say, to have that thorn removed, the Lord said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." And so he understood then that the Lord had humbled him physically, probably also mentally and emotionally, in having to deal with it. But he also saw that it was good for him to be afflicted, because it gave him personal benefit. And maybe just move on quickly. There are other examples that he gave. But thirdly, what is the result of this? It is good to be afflicted, but it's good for me to receive these afflictions at the hand of the kind, compassionate, and wise hand of Jesus himself. But why is this? That I might learn thy statutes, that I might understand experientially, I might experience through these things and have more of an understanding of the statutes of God, of the Word of God. And he mentioned briefly Psalm 19, which is what we've been looking at just a few weeks, over a number of weeks, speaking of the natural revelation, that we'd understand certain things and that we'd have the special revelation. But then they two come together in having a personal spiritual revelation. It's towards the end of Psalm 19. And that last portion is the fruit of affliction and conviction, speaking of Psalm 19, but in a same way. So Psalm 19 speaks of the glories. We see the glories of God in the creation. We see these many things. But in the middle section, firstly, the law of the Lord is good, converting the soul. And so speaking about the effect of the special revelation of God upon the soul of the believer, but then that convicting work that it has on sin, and the desire to be freed from great sin and from hidden sin. Lord, that the word of my mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in the sight of God. And so that's it. So that we might learn his statutes, we might desire his word, but we might obey that word, that we might experience that word. and that I might learn thy statutes on so many different levels. And we could go on, but I'll keep it brief because we've got three other sermons just briefly to look at. And the final application, therefore, is let us not complain or murmur against affliction in our lives. Let us, by God's grace, not murmur against them. Christ has sent them. Do not say with Jacob, all these things are against me, but be exercised by the trial. Be improved by the trial. Don't just survive the trial. And I think they were very poignant words that were given, especially after a long period for the elders, the teaching and ruling elders, but also for every Christian having been afflicted in different ways, especially over the last 18 months, let alone all the other personal afflictions that we've had. The difficulties in body, mind and spirit and relations and whatever. But it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then the Reverend Wagner, who was a retired minister, brought on Wednesday a message from Revelation 21 and verse 4. If you would turn there with me, I will attempt to be brief. Reverend Wagner was minister in Colombia, not the nation, but the city in the U.S., and had to retire last year because of his wife, who had been ill for many years, was now becoming very unwell, and it did eventually pass away. Even after he retired and gave her full-time care, the Lord took her to be with him. And so Mr. Wagner's had a difficult time. He's a homiletics lecturer. He loves preaching the Word of God. He's, I would say, one of the ablest men in North America. And so it was difficult on many levels to lay down the pastorate and to leave the pulpit full-time, but most especially to have his wife of many, many years be taken to glory. Revelations 21, chapter 21. And he wanted us to consider, and he introduced with his own circumstances, which we mostly knew, Revelation 21 and verse 4. And he says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he having mentioned something of his own, the context for bringing him to preach this, he goes back to John who received the revelation, and goes to chapter 5. And in chapter 5 of Revelation, we have the rolls and the seal, the roll and the seals, the roll with seven seals, and there is none found in heaven and earth to open the seal. None is found worthy except Christ, except the Lamb that was slain. And John weeps. He weeps. And John is at that very moment, he's in exile. It's possible that it was under forced labor, even as an old man, in the mines on Patmos. And most of the other weeping that we see in Revelation is concerning the wicked. But here we have a holy weeping as he weeps. And so we do see tears are in Revelation. We see that chapter 5 gives us John's weeping. We see other weeping as well. But we see at the end of Revelation that all tears are wiped away. And so the question then is, or his title of his message was, "The Tears of God's People Now and Then." The tears of God's people now and again. And firstly, he says, the tears of God's people are very precious to God. They're very precious to God, and he will wipe them away. And he will wipe them away, and yet he determines the cause of them. He determines the cause of those tears. And the question is why? Well, he knows that he has caused it. And he knows the extent of the grief that they produced, or the extent of the grief that produces these tears. And it's very much when we consider the tears that are caused by God's own hand, it is as a father disciplines his disobedient child. That it is a loving hand. It is a hand that can rebuke, a hand that will correct, but it's not a hand of judgment and punishment in that other way. It is a fatherly work. And what Psalm 56 and verse 8 also says, and I'll just briefly mention, it tells us that the tears of the saints are put into God's bottle. They're precious to God because he causes them, and he knows the extent of them. And he remembers them. That's the idea of being kept in a bottle. They're recorded. They're recorded in heaven, recorded in his book. I think it continues to say in Psalm 56 and verse 8. They are recorded in his book. And what is that book? He considered very briefly. It is his book of purpose, his decree, that these things would come to pass. And he determines the quality of those tears, the quantity of those tears, and the ultimate purpose of those tears. It is his book of providence as well. Any humility, any weeping, any sanctification, if they are achieved by these tears, then it is good. It is a good providence of God, although it causes us to weep. It is also, therefore, taking the words from Psalm 56 and verse 8, his book of remembrance. It's his book of remembrance. And if we remember that Christ himself knows about weeping, because we know that he wept three times in the scriptures as recorded, could have wept more, but three specifically recorded. He wept with those that were weeping at the grave of Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem, for his wrath over that place to come. And he wept in Gethsemane. And so we see those public weeping. And doubtless there was many private weeping, but we do not know. And because he is the God-man, and he is the weeping God-man, he's also the weeping high priest, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Not like the earthly high priest, who wouldn't know every person of the people of God and couldn't be touched with all millions of them there in the land of Israel. But he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he remembers them, therefore. He remembers them more truly. And it was suggested also he remembers them far better now that he has become the God-man, having taken on our flesh. Not that God needs that, but there is that experience as the God-man to understand, or for us to have that understanding that he understands us more, is better said. So the tears of God's people are very precious to God. And secondly, we have a constant need of God's handkerchief. We now have a constant need of God's handkerchief, because there is no wiping, a final wiping away until heaven. That's when all tears will be wiped away, and God will wipe them away. But why is a handkerchief needed now? It's needed now because of sin. Because of sin, because we fail, and because we fall, because we grieve the Spirit, because we grieve each other, and we are guilty. And every time that we come to him with our sin, and as we trust him to cleanse us afresh and to forgive us afresh, as he has promised he will do, then he wipes away with his handkerchief that consoles our grief for sin, but also secondly for storms in life. We want blue skies. We want no troubles. We want the sun shining. We don't want it too cold at night, as it's getting at the moment. We don't want it too hot at night either. We have that comfort zone. But God rocks our boat. by storms of dark providence on a regular basis, and even when he doesn't seem to be doing so, that is in and of itself also a test, because we can be settled upon our lees. We can be so comfortable that we become backslidden in the comfort. And that is a test in and of itself. So it's not just the great storms, but it's the calm in the storm can also be a danger to the people of God. And yet we do not see the words of promise, and we forget our experience of his help in those storms. And that's the challenge, that we be brought back to rely upon him. Thirdly, in the separation. Why do we need God's handkerchief? So sin in life, in our lives, and from others, storms in our life, separation of life. So when loved ones, when a mother or a father, or brothers or sisters or friends, or worse still, children, are taken away, the Lord's handkerchief is sufficient for the greatest sobbing, the comfort that he can grant. And if we allow ourselves to be comforted by him, that we do not become morbidly obsessed with the loss which he has caused, but as with all things, to bring us close to him and on our knees to him. Tears are necessary when we have these losses, these separations, but the best place for tears is with Christ. The best shoulders that we can weep on are Christ's. And he provides human soldiers as well for us to weep on. Those that will come to us, and maybe there's only one or two people in your life that you could freely, openly blub and sob with. And the Lord has provided them also. And through him, through them, he shows his love and his kindness. Fourthly, submission. So we have constant need of God's handkerchief also for submission, having fought against him, having fought against what God has commanded us, what God has worked through his word and spirit in our conscience, and we've been working against him, and then we must submit. And the tears of submission are also wiped away by God, because whatever God is doing is the best, and it is the most loving, and it is the most wise thing. So they are very precious to God, the tears of God's people. God's people have a constant need of God's handkerchief now, but thirdly and finally, and maybe we'll just leave this for today, or else we'll be continuing too long. Maybe we have already. But here's the third part of this message. One day he will use his handkerchief for the last time. One day he will use his handkerchief for the last time. That there will be no more tears. In glory, no more tears. And yet our understanding is greater and clearer concerning our Savior and our sin and our failings on earth and our loved ones in hell. We will have that understanding more and more. And yet there will be no more tears. It's maybe a cliche, and maybe preachers rely on cliches and what they've heard themselves in the past too much when they come into the pulpit as well. But some people say, you know, when you're in heaven and those people you didn't bother to reach, you know, oh, you'll feel so guilty and so bad about it. Oh, if only you would do this and you'll be weeping. That's not what the Lord says. There will be no weeping of tears. We will actually see things from God's perspective. And once the grace and the goodness of God and the love of God has been stripped away from these people, we will actually begin to see them as God sees them, instead of how we knew them and how we loved them in this broken and fallen world, and so many other matters as well, because we will enter into the joy of our Lord, and tears are not allowed, and they won't be there. There's no cause for them at all. But also, not only is that a truth, but there is a sureness of that truth. And he continues in there as well. But one day he will use his handkerchief for the last time. Let's just leave that there, or else we'd be excellent messages that we were received. The two other messages I'll just briefly mention. The third on Thursday was Reverend Boyle from Mexico City, and it was about overcoming despair. And he was from Psalm 42 and 43. And just considering, where does despair come from? And then Friday morning, it was Reverend Bowman, who's the assistant minister in Winston-Salem congregation, and he preached from Mark 9, verses 14 to 29 on spiritual powerlessness. So four very pointed and quite linked messages to the men of the presbytery. Now, the mission board report was quite a lengthy one. It was a full one. So we have a number of missionaries around the world. And so the few that were given place that come from North America, at least, is firstly in Liberia. So Liberia up there on the northwest of Africa, and where we have two missionaries, the Reverend David DeCanio and Miss Joanne Greer. And David DeCanio, he writes that since January of this year, we've had 89 people sign visitor cards coming into this mission church there. And he says there's about 10 visitors a month that come in and go out. And then within the last 2 years, he says we've had about 40 to 50 visitors stay within that time and have between 50 and 90 attending each Lord's Day, and then about 14 in the weekly prayer meeting. So the work there, the mission church, has seen much growth and stability, for which we thank the Lord. The work began in 2011. And so in that time, in an area that is plagued with Roman Catholicism and Pentecostalism, the work hit there has started to grow and stabilize, and we thank the Lord for that. On July of this year, three of the young men from Reverend DeCanio's Sunday school class were baptized. And they themselves come from each sort of different backgrounds. It gives a little bit of background to each of them. One was 27, William Tarnowe, and he was baptized and was brought to Christ really and helped bore to get assurance of his faith more clearly by the other two who also were baptized. And the other man is Sovereign Wule, and he is aged 20, and he attended a Roman Catholic school and a Pentecostal church. It was coming to the Sunday, our equivalent of an adult Bible class or a young person's Bible class, that he started to understand something of being justified by faith alone, which is from the Roman Catholic and Pentecostal background, would be a huge difference, of course. He professes that he was converted about this time, although while he was attending the Sunday school class, he was still attending the Pentecostal church service immediately afterwards, but he became so convicted that he had to go and tell his pastor that he could no longer attend because they weren't preaching the gospel. And he now attends faithfully the mission church. And third man was Christian Tokpa, age 28, and he was saved about 2 years ago listening to Dr. Kern's sermons on the radio station. And so he started to attend the church, was told by a friend, no, the Seventh-day Adventists have got the truth. He went there for a while, realized that wasn't true, and has come back. And he was encouraged in the faith when Reverend John Greer from Ulster came and preached. Two of those three men are quite exercised about being called to the ministry, and so he's encouraged them to pray about it, and he is giving them some private lessons in theology and simple New Testament Greek. There's a radio station, which is a very important work over there. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio station. Of course, an awful lot of it's programmed, so it's just a question of making sure that the transmitter is online. They've bought their own transmitter. They've got their own grounds. And it has many listeners, not just in Liberia, but elsewhere. They also, when they're transmitting via radio frequencies, they're also transmitting at the same time through the internet. And so many other countries are able to get that. It's hard to tell, of course, how many listen. But they have people ringing in. They have sort of Bible quizzes, and that gets response, and people can win their radio station T-shirts and even Bibles. And Reformation Heritage Study Bibles have been given away 8 times in the last year. They have a bookstore there in the city, And that is an important ministry, and it pays its own way. It pays for its own bills, which is good. Even during this last difficult time in the economy. And the bookstore acts as the legally required headquarters, an NGO. It's a non-governmental organization. It is a charity. It also acts as the office for the radio station inquiries. People can send their letters, and it's also a reading room. And it also sells books, he says, but of course it's a bookstore. He's still having to deal with government registration and certification. It's astonishing that you would think a third world country would not be so, and this is probably our own arrogance, that it wouldn't be so swamped by bureaucracy, but it is. There's so much red tape and bureaucracy. He has approximately, for the radio station and for the children's work and for the church and for the denomination and for everything else, 26 licenses, permits and certificates from 16 different government ministries and agencies, and they need to be renewed yearly. But he's keeping on top of that. The Liberian Telecommunications Authority came to visit, and they were very happy with the quality of the equipment and everything else that was there. So that's very good. So Mr. DeCanio is very much busy with the radio work there. There is a potential mission team for August of next year to go and visit them for a few weeks and help out, and maybe help out with the vacation Bible school as well. So if that does become a fact, then obviously we will announce it from here. So that's to go to Liberia. And the Christian School Pilot Project that we saw that film on earlier this year, that had hoped to be started this September, but because of all the various problems and even with the building works around the school location, that's had to be delayed until September of 2022, God willing. Now, Joanne Greer also gives a report that she's busy with the Sunday school. That's restarted in January, last January, when the COVID restrictions were lifted. And then also the Bible Club. Bible Club meets every Friday between 4 and 6 and has about between 20 and 40 young people. And going through various other aspects of... So Sunday school would be more formal learning of catechism and Bible. The Bible Club would be more, as well as the Bible, the life of Amy Carmichael, or reading The Holy War by John Bunyan. There's also a reading club. Literacy is a bit of a challenge for some families in Liberia. And then every Thursday, an informal time when school children can come and practice their reading with Christian books and the Bible, of course, in the bookstore, in the reading room at the back. And so she uses that to give individual tutoring for reading, but also to explain what the Bible says, and even to help them practice their Bible and catechism for the Sunday and the Fridays. And then she gives some individual reading lessons and some individual music lessons as well. There are some special events that they have in the year. There's Liberia's Independence Day once a year, and in spite of the COVID restrictions, they were able to invite 20 of the most faithful attendees for an afternoon of games and food. Normally they'd have up to 150 in a normal year. The Vacation Bible School again was limited just to 30 children, and normally that would be up to 200 who would attend. But they had a very good week, and they studied creationism and were refuting things that they would learn even at school, and what they would hear in the media about evolution. And then she was also busy giving a child's work training seminar. Miss Greer does some medical volunteer work, and to maintain her nursing license, although she stopped that earlier this year because she was busy with other things, she needs to restart it because she has a mind that it would be good to be the school nurse when the Lord willing that school would begin. And I think I might need that page, yes. And so she's busy really preparing for that school, for that Christian school. So doing various preparation pilot project report she had to make, and the school video. We've seen both, well, we've seen the video anyway. Visits to the Ministry of Education, curriculum development, documentation that was needed, a statement of faith for the school, philosophy statement, handbooks, even school logos and maybe uniforms, and the gathering of the materials that they'll need, equipment, books. And then she's even got an eye on possible teacher training. When the Lord willing, they're about to, they need to start looking for teachers. Well, how are they going to teach them to be teachers, having had teachers maybe from schools already, or people who are willing and are talented? And so she's looking at all those things, and she hopes to be on deputation. That is, she hopes to go on furlough, go home for a visit to family there in Northern Ireland, and to go around various churches and give a personal report. That's what we call deputation. And so she'll be doing that this from November to February. Something she would like to do every 3 or 4 years, but because now they want to open the school in September 2022, when it should have happened, it's been brought forth. She was advised to bring that forth a year. Now, that was an awful lot, and I cut it down. So that was Liberia. Now, it is very encouraging to see what the Lord is doing in Liberia and through the mission station there, and all the various works that they have. Really encouraging seeing the church moving forward as well. The congregation, I should say. Now we're in the Czech Republic, and to our brother, the Reverend Miloš Šulc. And he says he's very thankful that the present situation with COVID in the country is relatively stable, because since the beginning of July, they've been able to have in-person services. They were badly hit in the Czech Republic by the third wave. So many people got sick, and after that, it's just died off in society. Let's hope the fourth wave here will have the same effect. So everything is sort of opening up a lot better now since July there. Last number of months, they've been very encouraged. There was a classmate of his son, Timothy, who has come to the Lord, and that's one of a few men that his son has been ministering to over the years and trying to reach with the gospel, his school friends. And he was able, Timothy, to lead this young man, Luke, to the Savior. And he's been praying that the Lord would establish him, Luke, in the faith, that he could grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord before he leaves school. And that has been the case also. It seems that both Timothy and Luke are heading off to university, and that the Lord would make them a mighty witness. So the children's camp there in that part of the Czech Republic was hosted at the beginning of July. And again, another victory in prayer, he says. The invitation had barely gone out when there was already a negative response in a number of cases. Parents or caregivers would not let their children come because we are believers. And the Czech Republic, you may or may not know, is a terribly atheistic society. They still have that heritage of Marxism there. And so to be a Christian is despised and looked down upon. He says, but nevertheless, although last year we only had one person, this year eight young children came from the community. And it's a rare opportunity to be able to reach the church, children and the homes with the gospel. These doors and homes and people, as a rule, are closed to any gospel influence. And there was some follow-up ministry in a number of these needy families, spiritually needy. And special encouragement was... an answer to prayer was the Lord's work upon the heart of one young girl who now desires to come to our home and to our service as much as she is allowed by her parents. And the Reverend Schultz said himself that he's still very encouraged that she's still attending, and she seems so keen on the things of God. Another milestone for their work there in Czech Republic is after many years of working and translating is the printing of their own hymn book. So they'll have their own hymn book there in the Czech language. Our brother Schultz, originally from the Czech Republic, came over with his Baptist pastor father to Canada as a missionary to Canada. Reverend Schultz, he became active in our congregation in the school in Toronto, and so when he speaks English, he speaks Canadian, but he went back having a smattering or, you know, conversational check, but he felt drawn to go back to the land of his fathers. And of course, now he speaks fluent Czech as well. So there's a good connection there with Canada. And he says the Lord's work continues to go forward, and the people in the work have been faithful. Bringing us now to Jamaica. Jamaica's a work, I'll have to check the date. The work in Jamaica is at least, I think, 25 years old at least. And it was started by a lady missionary whose name I've only heard once, and so I can't remember it. And shortly after her, Reverend Paul Fitzsimons from Northern Ireland was busy there for a number of years, I believe, maybe even 10 years, maybe in two blocks, 10 years or so in total. At the moment, we have two Jamaicans themselves, Richard Craig, and he is assisted by Randy Gunnings. And Richard Craig, he is also a student at our seminary there in Greenville. Of course, he's doing it online, distance learning. And he's still pastoring the work there in Little London, as it's called, that part of Jamaica. In the north of Jamaica, would that be right? Little London, yeah. And he says, it's greatly blessed in one sense, and in another sense, we've been very discouraged. He says, the Lord's been good to us as a congregation, with all the spiritual blessings that he's bestowed upon us as a people. We've been privileged to witness to the unconverted, to witness the gospel to the unconverted. However, we've been discouraged at times, especially due to the fact that we're not able to meet publicly for church services at the moment, because Sunday has now had its name changed in Jamaica to No Movement Day. So they're not allowed to go to church because it's the day of no movement. And I think, as a Christian, that's taking the Sabbath rest a little bit too far, because we're still to meet. But of course, that's not their intention at all. The COVID-19 virus has gained access to the lives of many who associate themselves with our own congregation. Yes, we've tasted that ourselves, brother. Four of our neighbors who regularly visit our church tested positive. Everyone is on the road to recovery, and we thank the Lord for sparing their lives. One of them, called Kerry Ann, who was hospitalized for over a week, testified that she saw three persons die around her in the ward due to the shortage of oxygen. So please remember her in your prayers. Brother Randy and his wife Gillian would greatly appreciate your prayers due to both of them having health issues and other challenges. Brings us finally to Mexico City. In Mexico City, we have the Reverend Jason Boyle, and his wife is Canadian. Again, the father is from the Lethbridge area, but they've moved over to BC. So I think she was originally Albertan. So we'll continue to claim Danielle as one of our own. So Jason and Danielle, they're serving the word there in Mexico City. And from it being one mission church, now has a number of other churches with whom there is a sister relationship. And he's busy teaching theology, teaching other aspects of the Reformed faith to these churches whom the Lord is turning to the gospel. And to the preaching of the full counsel of God there. And so he's busy preaching, teaching, and as well as the general outreach work. And Danielle is active in the church, especially helping with the ladies' fellowship meetings and other tasks. He says the church will celebrate its 10th year anniversary this coming January. We're thankful to the Lord for what he has done, and still trying to return to our routine from before the pandemic. We now have a new place to rent. We moved at the beginning of July, and it makes a huge difference to the work. We now have our own meeting place. A lot of work had to be done on it. Money had to be spent on it. And it is, to be honest, a little bit too small for future plans and ideas that they have. They're looking, because he's now responsible for other works in Mexico and even the Dominican Republic and possibly other areas, if you want to get people in for teaching and conferences, then that would, you know, a larger area, a larger room, a larger building would be very suitable. But they're very grateful for what the Lord has provided. Had a couple of baptisms a couple of months ago, a few people almost ready to come into membership. We're praying for the Lord to raise a man for a church plant they have in a place called Toluca, about an hour outside Mexico City. Two families travel into the city every other Sunday to worship with us, but they desire a free pea church there. And so he's continuing with his teaching. He asks for prayer for a man called Ruben Ramirez, a young man in our church who just began seminary, the Geneva Reform Seminary there in Greenville, South Carolina. The Lord has called him to the ministry, and so we pray for his protection and growth during the years of studies, and he's begun to help already with the preaching occasionally in the church. And they're looking to have deacons elected at the end of the year, and continue to pray for the Lord to raise up men to be elders. And so he is still very much busy. He's sort of an extension, a Spanish language extension to the seminary from Greenville, and doing that work there. As regards to Reverend Boyle and Danielle's desire to adopt little Jonathan, they're looking after Jonathan. They've been fostering him now for well over a year. But the adoption process is very slow, and so asking for prayer for that. Just very briefly, regarding the Dominican Republic and the church there. It does actually have a name. It might be something like Redentor or something like that, which means Redeemer. Church there in San Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic. And he has been a minister in that church for about 10 years. He got in touch with the Free Church, I think, over 5 years ago, and has come into the seminary. He's been learning online, learning of the Reformed faith and the distinctives of the Free Presbyterian Church. And he finished his studies, as well as being a full-time minister and probably doing work as well. And so we licensed him. So he became, I suppose in the Dutch Reformed, he became a candidate that he could receive a call. Although he's already working in a church, so I understand that the church itself would desire to become a congregation within the Free Presbyterian Church, but that will take its own course. There's a committee that's looking after that, and so he was licensed. He graduated and was licensed last week. Also, there's a man called Jose Miguel, and he's training for eldership. There's three names I've thrown out at you. You can ask me later. I'll try to remember them. We've had a COVID emergency relief fund for the mission board, and now we're going to finish. And the appeal to the congregations in North America went out, and in a short time, and they were hoping for $20,000, they got $34,000. And all the funds except about $2,000 have been distributed. So the thanks goes out again to all our congregations for their generous giving in that regard. It has been needed and been well used. There was a financial report considering all the works of the North American Mission Board. And you've got to imagine, we barely break out into the 20s in numbers of congregations in North America. I suppose we're maybe up to 20, about early 20s with the works in Mexico, or the work in Mexico and the others that are coming on board. But we have now a budget, and the budget is now for $265,000. So that's how much came in. That came in, and the budget, I beg your pardon, can't even read. The budget itself was $178,000. And so more came in than was being expected. So again, the generosity of God's people, but ultimately the provision of God himself. He will build his own church, and he will provide for the building of his own church, and therefore all the glory goes to him. And so we're very grateful to the Lord for providing that. And the last word is, we praise and thank the Lord for supplying all our needs. And just when something arises, the funds come in. This is God's work. And our eyes are upon him to bless and increase our mission works there for the glory of Christ and his kingdom. And that ends the report, really, from Presbytery. I think it's important that we sort of have an idea of what's going on. That it's not, we're not just a little congregation, but you know, this little flock is part of a collection of flocks, ultimately, you know, part of the worldwide Church of Christ himself. So let's just leave that there, and maybe we'll just close in a word of prayer and move on to a time of prayer, please. Lord, we do rejoice for the word that thou didst give to thy servants last week. Lord, such a piercing, penetrating word. that came in and challenged and encouraged, Lord, that fed our souls, drew us very well into prayer each time. We thank Thee for the times of prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercies shown unto us. Lord, we considered Thy hand, and Lord, we know that Thou workest, Lord, in spite of us and elsewhere. We are merely a portion of one part of Thy vineyard, that, Lord, Thou buildest Thy church, not a denomination, but Thou workest also through denominations, through congregations, through the individual believer. And we thank Thee for what we've been encouraged by, and we thank Thee, Lord, for this little part in the Great Commission that we may play. And Lord, we do pray for Thee to bless all those men and all those situations. Kellyanne there in Jamaica, will Thou strengthen her. I remember Miguel Ramirez, as I believe he is to become an elder, and the other man who is undertaking studies. Lord, remember Ramon Sosa, Lord, as he's now been licensed. Lord, that he may know himself more established in Thy will and Thy work for him, although he has been in the pastorate for 10 years already. Lord, bless our brother. Bless all the missionaries. Bless all Thy people who pray and give and support the work, the works, O God. Lord, it is a privilege. And now help us, O God, in this time of prayer, to call upon Thee, to cast all our cares and their cares upon Thee. O Lord, we glory in Thee. We thank Thee that it is not a work of man, that it is the work of the God-man. And we praise Thy name. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.